Open your ears, crack those knuckles, and coat yourself in Bolo Stop for another exciting adventure of Tales from Tough City, a pulp novel read one chapter a week for 14 weeks. Kiss, kiss, bang, bang, fuck you!
Chapter 2. The main hall was soaked with security and peppered with the kind of rich people I try to avoid, but usually end up working for. The kind of people who brag about living in Tough City, and get away with it because they only ever brag about it to people who don't. And most of them don't even actually live here, just hold an address in town, usually some burnt-out building that they've never even seen. The fact that they had actually hauled their sorry asses into Tough City for this gig only backed up DeBrutta's story about the wedding being put on by a hotshot G-man. The guests, riding rumor and fear of Tough City into heart-bursting nerve panic, were choked by phalanxes of bodyguards. Each group eyeballed the others with suspicion rays locked on Hardburn. The gangs of security mutts were, if anything, more nervous than the guests who nestled at the nucleus of each phalanx like a cancer. The tension was as thick as the smell of Bolo Stop. The whole room was just a hair trigger away from an all-out bullet festival. I felt right at home. There was a merry gang of goons up on the stage in front of the altar. No doubt they were surrounding the groom, but I couldn't make out which one he was. The Marry Me March was just starting, so I slipped into a pew to watch the parade. As I did, a wave of gun barrels belonging to the three or four Sakura mobs nearest me swung around and stared me down with a couple hundred black eyes. In doing so, of course, they thinned out the defenses on the other sides of their squads. This led to a quick passing of the bald spot that went around for a while, till it was discovered that there really was no actual breach or real increase in the threat stats. Things calmed down a pike a degree, and attention turned back to the aisle that the bride's mob was just then stomping up. Through the legion of pink-plated bride's forcers, bristling with snub shots, I caught a glimpse of the bride. She was cute as nails in her white, pearl-riveted body armor. As they passed, I caught a glimpse of her face, and thought I'd seen it before. I've got a good head for faces, so I craned my neck to see if I could get another look at her, this marching bride. The wall of bride's forcers made it tough, but suddenly there was a gap, and for a sake of second I had a clear view. Not clear long enough to get off a shot, even with a sure snipe 333. The bride's forcers made sure of that. But clear and long enough for me to see black short snap curls, a thick and elegant neck and kissy-fist lips. Clovis. Clovis Vroomba was getting married. I tried to remember her parting words to me, and I didn't have to try too hard. I had told her from the very start, after we had locked blocks at Okenko's, that she'd only get 8 hours, and she had taken this as a challenge. She said that it'd be different with her, that she had a feeling about me. I had a feeling about me too, but I don't like to repeat myself. Heck, I had wanted her to be right. But her 8 hours had come up just like everybody else's, and she had waited till I was out on the angry sidewalk before opening her window to holler down at me so that all Tough City could hear. She told me how she was going to get married someday to a 10 times tougher man than me, and that her bride's forcers would all wear pink-plated armor and carry pink snub shots. And furthermore, if I turned up at her wedding, invited or otherwise, those snub shots would be trigger-trained to go off in my direction and erase me with pink frag slugs. At the time, I had thought it was just jilted woman stuff to keep me out there, with the sidewalk snapping at my ankles and tough guys sticking their heads out of windows to see what the hell all the fuss was about. I assumed that she had been making all that wedding stuff up to make herself feel better, and me feel worse. And maybe she had. But here it all was, as true as the church it was in. I figured I'd better keep my distance from those bride's forcers' pink snub shots, in any case. I didn't know if frag slugs came in pink, but judging from the cashola laid out for the rest of the wedding, I was betting dollars to donuts they were as pink as a bunny bomb's detonator nose. I'd never really given too much thought to Clovis's hollering after that night. I just can't pay much memory mind after those 8 hours are up. But one part of her threat had always bugged me. That she would marry a man 10 times as tough as me. Now, I'm not saying I'm the toughest toughie in Tough City, and that has jack zero to do with modesty. You see, to claim to be the toughest in Tough City means waking up every morning to deal with tough guys trying to be tougher. I don't need the extra aggravation. But let me just say that someone 10 times as tough as me would be very tough indeed. That would be right up there with Loose Bruce McBone, whom I hold in very high regard, as you may know if you've been paying one lick of attention. And if you haven't, then pay up, sucker. Everything else Clovis had promised seemed in place. I had to get a look at this groom guy. I took advantage of the general hubbub, slipped out of the aisle, and made like I was invited. Didn't matter. Security goons trained weapons of all sorts at me as I approached the stage, and proximity alarms went off on each person I passed. I was used to being on the wrong end of guns that were smarter than the goons that held them. But I did, however, hold my breath and find another place to point my eyes when passing the Secura thugs carrying hair-trigger 150s. Now, I'm not a very smart guy, but you gotta raise serious questions about the intelligence of someone who'd bring a highly unstable biomech weapon to a wedding. Of course, this is Tough City, and if that makes you nervous, you can catch the next bus to Easyville, leaving every hour on the hour. The groom's goons rearranged a little to let some light fall on him for the cameras, and perhaps to reassure the bride that her man was still in attendance. Trying to get close enough to slap an ID on this groomeroony, I actually began to feel a bit chuffed that old Clovis had actually found someone 10 times tougher than me. I'd believe it when I saw it. I started to get lost in a daydream in which I was showing everyone in the room who was toughest. Suddenly, I was close enough to see. My eyes saw him, but I didn't want them to. Damn my eyes. It was Loose Bruce McBone. I turned away from the wedding party and moved behind a huge stone pillar. I slouched against it, trying to make my brain shut up. Damn my brain. I was hit by 2 things simultaneously. One was the reality that a woman with whom I'd spent one of my best 8-hour runs was about to marry a man who was like a hero to me. Hell, he was my hero. And if you want to dig around and find some sick meaning in that, then why don't you go ahead and dig your own grave while you're busy, Jacko? The other thing that I got hit by was the ass end of a stun wave from some kind of percussive blaster as it barely found me behind the pillar. The wave dissipated quickly enough, but left me feeling that somehow someone naughty had relocated the church bells from the steeple to my brain bone. Against my better judgment, which has never been particularly good to start with, I stepped out to see what the hell had happened. Apparently, the original owner of that percussive blaster had opened it up wide before yanking its chain and donating chaos to an entire hall of people. Thanks to the pillar at my back, I was just about the only one who hadn't fallen down hard in a daze. The whole rest of the room was all like a splutter on their keisters. And then, suddenly, there was no tomorrow. Everything was now, in mega technicolor and super stereo. A deadly red spider sliced into the room above the stunned wedding guests, who were rolling around like pill bugs on the floor. My heart stopped, or started. From high in the ceiling's vaults, she tumbled, and then swung, stretched tight on a gossamer strand which she gripped between her toes and clamped between her teeth, and fire spurted from her hands. Stun-waved goons came unstunned, and every gun in the place came up with its own rude noise all at once. The air was suddenly thick with cordite, and brass casings showered the guests and their guards, and the wedding parties, and their guards, and the bodyguards, and their guards. The screaming red devil continued her plummet and pendulumed deliciously, as if goosed with extra grace grease, out across the platform towards the altar. She floated through a fog of projectiles, her red dress flowing out behind her like a gushing wound in the free-fall wind. Her arms raked back and forth as black swarm after black swarm from her fiery weapons rattled into the wedding audience. And still, the crowd around me sent enormous waves of hot reverse rain up towards her. And I stood there, captivated, taken prisoner, poleaxed, faced, unable to take my eyes off her. One of the wicked sprite's arms swung around to sweep the wedding stage as she passed above it. Under the seemingly interminable flow of destruction, The red carpeted platform rippled, reared up, and peeled back upon itself. Bodies threw themselves and were thrown hither and thither. The woman's plummet slowed, and she had almost reached the ground when she suddenly bent her knees like a goddamn trapeze artist and kicked her legs out, arching her back. For a split second, she stopped, right before impact, and I caught a freeze frame of her, a contorted muscle puzzle, her drop line gripped tight between her teeth, forcing her mouth into a maniacal grin. Then she shot back up toward the ceiling, pumping every inch of stretch out of that spider thread while pumping all thoughts of anything but her out of my mind. As she rocketed heavenwards like a goddamn angel, the angry clouds of lead swung with her like spray from a fireman's hose. The firing was so thick that brass casings danced forever in the air, juggled there by bullets fired. The most beautiful woman in the world turned her spouts of fury away from the crowd below, and up, ahead of herself, into the cavernous arches of the ceiling. The holy gloom of the church was broken by a sudden ray of outside light that winked once briefly as she passed through this new hole in heaven. The light burst down through the hole and stomped straight through the shell and smoke-choked air like a pillar. The pillar hit me squarely where I stood and baptized me in silver. Glass and stone rained all around me, but I didn't care. I was in love, dammit, and it felt fine. I didn't flinch. Not because I was a tough guy, which I am, but because suddenly, nothing else mattered to me but her. Everything else fell out of my life as soon as she fell in, but then she was gone, and I got that socked in the gut feeling like I'd just been woken up from the best dream ever. I'd lost her. I'd lost everything. The pandemonium and kerfuffle didn't abate all that much even after it was abundantly clear that the assassin, if that's what she was, had flown the coop clean. Small, nervous rallies of gunfire still volleyed back and forth, as secure thugs tried to earn their keep. And the hand-grafted hairs on those hair-trigger 150s, that were so notoriously hard to stop, had to keep not stopping till they stopped not stopping and stopped. The crowd was a mess of battered and broken forms, but security had done their job. Two figures scrambled forth, one from the wreckage of the floor, and one from the wreckage of the stage. They stood, frantic and searching, until finally the one in white squeaked,
"Bruce!"
Loose Bruce McBone and Clovis McBone-to-be clawed over slabs of pew and ducked through showers of plaster dust and found each other. Clovis's white body armor was streaked Bridesforcer pink with what was more than likely Bridesforcer blood. McBone's tuxedo was a tattered mess. They locked in an embrace that drew the attention of all those in the room who were still able. Except me. I stumbled out and goddamn left that place. It was all wrong. I knew so because it all seemed so right. So it had to be wrong. Nothing was ever that easy in Tough City, and nothing but nothing about love was ever right. There was only one way to settle this little roundabout. I had finally found someone. Someone for me. Then lost her. And now I had to find her again. And if I was good at anything, I was good at finding people. But first, I needed a drink.